It will not be just like, this is our classical process. Now we have Gen AI, so we'll do it in the same way. Yeah. I really think that it will be one of the exciting things that we need to redesign the processes.
Hello and welcome to the Data Culture Podcast. I'm Carsten Bange, founder and CEO of BARC, and I'm greeting you today from the first BARC event in Belgium. This event is all around AI and AI use cases, and that's why I asked one of our guests, Valerie Denaye, to share her experiences with Gen AI, because she is Gen AI transformation expert in DPG Media. She's heading these efforts, and that's why I think she's the best person to ask about success factors in Gen AI. And that's what our conversation centers around. And we look at both the internal use cases, meaning process automation, efficiency gains, but also the more consumer-facing use cases where there's a lot of image generation already going on today. And I think that was super interesting to hear what this company is doing, but also how they were successful with that. One big area where Valerie is also very passionate about is responsible AI. So we understand how responsible AI is being implemented at DPG Media. Hi, Valerie.
Hey.
Very nice to have you on the show today. Valerie, you're head of Gen AI transformation at DPG Media. Maybe you explain first what DPG Media does, what it is, and also what you do there.
Yeah, of course. And thank you for having me.
Sure.
So DPG Media is a media company in Belgium and the Netherlands, and we focus on everything in media. So mm-hmm. we have like entertainment business, which is television, streaming, radio, but we also have newspaper brands, both in print as digital, same for magazines, mm-hmm. and then also some more vertical websites on different topics from like technology to parenting, etc.
All right. That sounds like a big area for lots of AI use cases. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. It's there are exciting times to be in today, especially in media where content creation is important and Gen AI is the right tool to do that.
Absolutely. So do you see a disruption of your business with AI or especially Gen AI?
Yeah, we see that lots of people are using it already. So we see lots of interest, lots of experiments. But of course, it still needs time. It's always like an adoption curve, people trying it and seeing what it will bring.
Okay. How long are you on that journey? Did basically your company start immediately, I don't know, after ChatGPT probably, or when did you start?
Yeah, indeed. We started immediately after the launch of ChatGPT, mm-hmm. and then people were already like trying it, and there was a bit of a need for someone who organizes it and leads the program, and that's a bit how I rolled into this role.
Excellent. So maybe you can give us like an overview of what you do with Gen AI, just on a general sense.
Yeah, with the team, we focus actually on four topics. So the mm-hmm. first one is strategy and vision and portfolio management. What are use cases that we want to do? Mm-hmm. The second pillar is the tooling, the technology behind, which tooling is allowed, which not. The mm-hmm. third one is responsible AI. And the fourth is everything around learning and development and training our people.
All right. How big is the team?
For now, it's a bit of a mix. We have a bit of a hybrid structure. So we have a central team of people, which is now six people, but we will increase.
Okay.
And then we also have like front runners within the companies building their own smaller teams focusing. Yeah. So it's a bit of a hybrid structure of a center of excellence and the businesses themselves.
Okay. And just to get it into perspective, how many people work overall in DPG Media?
Yeah, so we just acquired RTL as well. So without RTL, we were like 6,000. Mm-hmm. But with RTL, I think we go to 7,000.
All right. Okay. So that puts it in perspective. And where do you focus your Gen AI efforts on? I mean, probably you cannot do everything at once. So where are like the hotspots, the highlights you work on?
Yeah, we focus on two big topics. So the first one is everything around efficiency, automation. It can be like finding information way faster or automated reporting. On the other hand, we're also looking on how can we engage our consumers more? Can AI help us with that? But of course, always when consumers prefer it, because there can be sometimes a negative connotation as well. And of course, our brands, especially newspaper brands and our digital news brands, need to be trustworthy.
Yeah, okay, obviously. Let's start with the automation side of things. How did you find the use cases? Was it like, were they emerging, or did you have initiative to really go into processes, take a look at them? How did that work out?
Yeah, we indeed started with workshops to understand like the processes of the different business units to really see like, okay, where can automation help? But of course, when Gen AI arrived, people were like, Gen AI is a solution for everything. But often it's a combination of classical operational excellence together with generative AI. And then we are really looking into the problems, the bottlenecks, etc. they encounter, time waste, and then we try to find the right solution for them.
And are there a few use cases that you can share where you see good potential?
Yeah, I think on the one hand, so on the automation efficiency side, I think it's the classical use cases of the knowledge database and finding your information way faster than before. A couple of examples on that front are, for example, within our sales organization, lots of people are working on different campaigns. We have different teams. Front-end sales, back-end sales, different reports, but also rate card information, etc. Also our clients that have info or needs info. So then the team is now building a chatbot with all the info of the sales organization in one place, so people can find information way faster than before, and they don't need to look up, oh shit, who is the right person to go to.
So like instead of looking into a CRM system or maybe multiple systems.
Yes.
So it's like integrated.
Indeed.
And you get good feedback from the sales organization?
Yes. In general, the places where we have... so in general, the places where we have come up with chatbots and knowledge databases are the people are really happy with it. They are using it. They also give their feedback so we can still improve it. It's always like an ongoing way. And of course, you need to update the data because if the data behind it is not right or outdated, then the output will become bad.
Yeah.
So it's also something.
I heard that a lot on this podcast.
Yeah, I can imagine.
The importance of data, and that basically without good data, AI will fail. So you can support that too?
Yeah, definitely.
No wonder. Yeah. You mentioned one thing that catch my interest. You mentioned automated reporting. And I know that a lot of our listeners and viewers are also in the data and analytics space. So that is always something interesting. So what do you do there?
Yeah, maybe an example. So we have our digital news brands, and they, of course, need to know lots of KPIs, the page views, bounce rates, articles, most read articles, etc. And most of our brands are generating a daily or weekly report. So we have really analytical teams working on that. So what we did was, with classical business logic and generative AI, we started to gather all the right data information. We also prompted that they could write different modules. So per KPI, you have like a module, and then in an automatic way, a report is created. And then the analyst himself, he rereads it, he can alter if needed, and he can also select topics that are most interested for his report to send around. So that's something that we have automated, and the feedback there is also very positive.
And you use like a Gen AI, like a frontier LLM, or how did you do that technically?
Yes, it depends. If it's like just like in the beginning, we have like a summarization of the most critical KPIs. It's just like standardized business logic of filling it in a standardized template. But of course, while writing out the comparison and the insights, etc., for that language part, we use generative AI. So it's a combination.
And the data is in a database, so it's still structured data mostly you report on? and then you basically explain it in the language part.
Yes, yes, yes.
And how do you make sure that the language part, let's call it that way, is not starting to hallucinate about the data that it gets? So it makes up a few numbers or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. So for that one, so we work indeed only with our database. So mm-hmm. It's limited to the use of that data. We also explain what are the tables, the columns, what are the different KPIs, what does it mean? Mm-hmm. And of course, within our prompt, we also give some clear rules of what he can use, how to interpret, etc. So we test a lot and we resharpen, refine, etc. until the hallucinations are limited to a minimum.
So you measure that or you try to find out how much hallucination is involved?
We don't have like real numbers because I think by prompting it in the right way, using the data set and limiting the creativity of the model, yeah. We come already quite a far way of okay. having like the right interpretations.
Okay, yeah. Okay. But probably you still have a human overlooking it?
Yes, 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 always. So we work with a human in the loop.
Okay.
And it's very important that the quality is still checked, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right, okay. Well, interesting, for sure. Now let's focus on the other area, where you mentioned it's more customer or consumer focused. What are the use cases there? What are you doing there?
Yeah, we work with different formats, so it can go from video creation to text creation, etc. Mm-hmm. But I think a cool use case, what we did is we had a podcast for one of our news brands, mm-hmm. and then we wanted to turn it into a vodcast, so like a mid-form video for a streaming platform. Mm-hmm. And for that one, because looking at a podcast, sometimes it can be a bit the same all the time. We tried to create frames with generative AI mm-hmm. to really support the story because it was a podcast around crime okay. cases and yeah. how to solve them.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was also, it added some value to also started using generative AI images. But of course, we're always transparent about that as well. So if it's a Gen AI image yeah. or if it's a Gen AI video, yeah. we write it on the frames as well.
Okay.
As well. Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So you have, it sounds like a lot about video or picture generation.
Yes, we experiment, of course, in the beginning, we started with text generation. I think mm-hmm. in our countries, it was always about the LLMs and mm-hmm. ChatGPT's mm-hmm. Geminis. Mm-hmm. But of course, because we are an entertainment company, people are also eager to start experimenting, especially in Nano Banana and then the Runaways, VO3s of this mm-hmm. world. Mm-hmm. We use them all. Mm-hmm. And I think like the last year, the part of generative AI that has advanced the most is the video generation, image generation part. Before right. it was not that yeah. great still, also in quality, but the fact that we are still using, the fact that we are using it today already yeah. in consumer yeah. facing use cases yeah. says a lot about the quality of today.
Absolutely. Maybe you can give us an update for anyone that is not following this space so quickly. I think what really made the news was a few months back was the Sopra model that was maybe one of the first one that was able to actually generate video clips. Where are we today with its capabilities?
So indeed, the older models, it yeah. was super difficult to show hands grabbing something, right. faces, talking, the lip sync, etc. We see with today's models that it can be super realistic. Okay. Of course, the trained eye sees the difference between a real shot and a generative AI shot because it's sometimes or most of the time still very cinematic mm-hmm. and dramatic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But the details that they can do now versus before, it's a major difference and a major improvement.
So what you are saying is we are already at a stage where many or most people cannot tell the difference anymore? Or are we close to that?
Yeah, I think it depends. I think for now we see a difference between the AI shots and natural or realistic shots. I think on image generation, especially with the Nano Banana model, where you can use a model and then the clothes and then accessories, etc., you can put it together in one picture. I think for that it becomes more and more difficult to see. So we're not there yet, but we're close.
I think we're soon. Okay. All right. Interesting. I have a really more general question. There's so much going on in Gen AI that I sometimes have the impression that companies focus only on Gen AI now. And even I meet a lot of people that think AI is only Gen AI. But I mean, we all have a history in AI. We have machine learning and so on. So I wonder, did those investments stop? Or is it true that also your company is only focusing on Gen AI? Or is there still also initiatives going on in, let's call it, traditional AI?
Yeah, for us, it's an end-to-end story. So we already have our traditional machine learning areas. It can be, for example, for personalization, recommender systems, etc. Those areas are still existing. And it's just like looking into Gen AI, how can we improve or help on use cases, processes, etc. But it's always an end-to-end story. So it's a traditional machine learning, it's the classical business logic, and it's a generative AI. And I think if you combine all those, that you have the most interesting and impactful use cases.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But good to hear. Yeah. So it's it's just not in the news in a way, but it's still there and also generating value. Talking about generating value, there has been a shift of attention to AI agents now. And I think those would probably fit very well to your first area, because often that they are used in automating processes or helping to be more efficient. Is that also something you look into?
Yes, it's also something that we started experimenting with. How can we indeed create a chain of different agents, or how can we link to other systems, etc.? It's a bit like before I also worked in AI, before Gen AI was there. And then, for example, I built with a company in Next Best Action Engine. Right. And of course, it's also a bit of next steps and a kind of agentic workflow without a generative AI.
Yeah.
So we're also looking into how we can improve processes based on that. And we're also experimenting with different tooling to then determine what's the best one to go forward with.
Do you already have an idea where you see the processes that might be most suitable for agents?
I think it's especially processes that can be standardized or automated in a way. So that's the first ones we're looking into, but it can also, for example, help. For example, if a sales rep goes to an advertising client, it can really help determine what's the next step, what should be the scheduling of the date, the visits, the presentation that he needs to give, the topic. And then you can have like different agents looking into different topics and then create the right plan for that specific client with right documentation, the right information that the sales rep can use to go there. It can be really a supportive function.
Yeah, sounds like a good use case or an interesting use case. Maybe to go like a step outside of the concrete cases. Now, with your experience around 2-3 years in Gen AI, could you maybe summarize the success factors? So where do you think lies success in Gen AI? What should people look after when they are thinking about, or when they're trying to improve their Gen AI initiatives? What are your experiences there?
I think, first of all, it's important that you look at your process and that you think like, how can I optimize my process, my work, etc. And that you look at it from a critical mindset and not like Gen AI will solve everything, but really like, how can I solve it? What do I need for that one? So that you use Gen AI as a kind of source, but not as the goal itself.
Right.
So I think that's the first one. Of course, the data quality. So before you start building something, check your data quality and clean it when necessary. And I also think the third one is really focus on educating your people, but educating them on using the right tools, on using it in a responsible way, that they are careful of data, IP, etc., and also that they use it in a critical way, because Gen AI will always generate an output. LLMs are trained to generate output. That's also why we have lots of hallucinations, because it's why they are built. And sometimes people think like, look, I prompted something, and not looking critical at their prompt, there is an output, it works, it's perfect. And I think prohibiting that people will become lazy, or that they will not check in a way that is sharp, that's for me also one of the most important things.
Yeah, I can only support that. Actually, let's take a look into all three of those success factors. The first one you mentioned is you have to look at the process. Yeah, and so Gen AI is a tool and not the what you actually want. I feel like there's now an increasing discussion around value of AI. Yeah, what can it actually contribute? Is it maybe failing? I mean, there's a lot going on. And my impression is that sometimes people are not really thinking that way, and that they are not really trying to transform. And now in your job description or job title, it's Gen AI transformation. So is that also something you are really focusing on? What is the transformation you're seeing in this space?
Yes, because in the beginning, of course, the people that were eager started experimenting with it. So we got lots of requests on use cases coming bottom up. And that's super interesting, because you can learn a lot. Mm-hmm. You can see what the technology can do, etc. But of course, you need to find a balance between what do we want to create impact on from a top-down point of view as well. And I think if you bring those two together, that you then can focus on the use cases that really matter. So I agree that it's a very transformative part, and it's really good that people start testing with it, experimenting with it. But at a certain moment in time, you also need to have like that business view and that strategic view from exco level and etc. What are we want to do now in the future? What are the processes that we need to redesign or rethink of, and really put your focus there with everything that you learned from the experimentation phase?
Do you also see an idea that processes can run completely different because of agents? Or is right now the technology more to take existing processes, automate them?
Yeah, I think now for the moment we are in a phase that you can look at a process, automate a process or a part of the process, and use Gen AI in different phases of that process. But I believe that in the future, it will not be just like, this is our classical process, now we have Gen AI, so we'll do it in the same way. Yeah. I really think that it will be one of the exciting things, that we need to redesign the processes.
I agree. Do you already have a vision how that could look like? Or do you have maybe an example where you already thought about that?
I think it's difficult to already say, because we're still in that phase of automation. But we will start as well in our company talking with people, looking how we can improve, how we can do more with the same people, the same technology, the same, etc. But then with the Gen AI layer on top, to see how it will evolve in the future. But it's a bit too early to say.
Yeah, I agree. Second success factor you mentioned is data quality. And then you mentioned if it's not right, you have to clean it. Is it so easy? Because my experience is some of the biggest problems that there typically are.
Indeed. Yeah, I think you really need a dedicated team or dedicated teams that focus on data and data quality. Like for us, we are for the moment looking into data mesh and organizing our data in the data mesh structure. But it's really like, if you have a good use case and you know what it will solve and you know the impact, then the next step is really looking, okay, what is the data that I need to make it happen? And before starting to prompt and putting the data in there, is really looking at that data and thinking like, okay, is this the right format? Do I need to change something? What's the data set that I need? Because you don't need to put everything in there as well, because then it will become costly soon. So I think that's one of the important steps.
Okay. Third success factor you mentioned is literacy. And you already mentioned responsible AI, or responsibility is a big focus. So is that something you really focus on?
Yes, it's also something that we look into from DPG Media as a company as well, because we want to educate our people, not only in using the tools, but also using it in a responsible way. Mm-hmm. So it's also, of course, we have like lots of IP within our company that people are not using tools where the tool owners gain the rights on the output, for example. So we are super strict on which tools that we allow. And we also educate people, okay, be careful in what you put into other tools if you start experimenting, etc., with those. And of course, the quality of the output as well. It's something that we continuously mention, but the human in the loop, human, machine, human, always check the output if it's truthful, if there is no bias, if there are no hallucinations as well. And of course, also the transparency towards our consumers when we use it.
Okay.
Then we also have guidelines on when to be transparent.
Okay, interesting. So that's basically what your responsible AI basically consists of, what you just mentioned, or is there anything else?
Yeah, there is of course more, because it's also like, how do we train people? Mm-hmm. What is the AI literacy program? What are the parts that are important? What is the level that the beginner needs to know, a media, an expert, etc.? So we really write it out per level, and something that we are doing at the moment. Of course, we have our general guidelines, but we really always go deeper and deeper, and we also have guidelines for the moment per department, because we have the general ones, but of course, if you are then a streaming brand or a newspaper brand or a magazine brand, it's always with different nuances, even advertising versus marketing. It's always with different nuances, so we really deep dive in use cases and examples to really support the guidelines and give like a clear view of what they need to look into, what they need to take into account.
Yeah. When you mentioned that, I was just starting to wonder. I think on the one side, guidelines can give guidance and clear structures. So I experienced that people really like to have that because they are uncertain. It's a new technology, new possibilities, and they need that. On the other hand, if you have too many or too strict guidelines, then you start to strangle, in a way, innovation. Yeah, because people say, oh, it's too complicated, or maybe I'm not sure whether I'm compliant, so maybe I'd rather not do this use case. Do you see the same, ambiguity about guidelines and in effect about responsible AI?
Yeah, I think for the moment, we're handling it quite well, because people find each other and then we brainstorm how far will we go based on the guidelines that we have chosen as a company. Mm-hmm. I think for us, where the ambiguity is even bigger, is sometimes in the tooling, what's allowed, what's not, in terms of legal privacy risks. Of course, we need to be strict, but sometimes that can limit a bit the freedom of experimenting as well. So then we try to see like, okay, can we do it in a more controlled environment. So we always try to find a balance, but of course, not everyone can be 100% happy every time.
Okay. All right, Valerie, we come to the end of this recording. First of all, thanks so much already. I think it was interesting insights.
Thank you.
But maybe to finish it off, if someone or companies are now on a Gen AI journey or starting it, what would be your top recommendations how to be successful in the end?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this already a bit in the question that you asked me. But I think if you want to start with generative AI, really look at your processes and think of your company. What are the things that can make your impact even bigger? Focus on those and really rethink, redesign the process and see how you can do that, both in a classical way or in a way with generative AI. Check your data quality, and always stay sharp and keep your focus on the output, because that's important as well.
Okay, excellent. Thanks so much, Valerie. Wish you all the best. Good luck
with your
future projects, the agents, and what else is coming. And with that, I say bye-bye.
No, thank you so much. You too. Thank you.